All right, folks, I think we may as well start. I think Felix is going to join the call from his mobile at some point, but I think he's texted me to say he's having quite a long journey from North London southwards, so we'll see how he goes. But in the meantime, let's just crack on and get started. So welcome to the Focus call. I think you guys, I think pretty much everyone on the call is pretty experienced with these things, so you know how these things run, particularly with the Focus call. It's very informal. Feel free to stop me, ask questions, make suggestions as we go through. I think what we wanted to do, and in case any of you don't know, so I'm Dan Jones and I'm the campaigns manager here at Results UK, and I particularly lead the work on education that we do. So I think really the reason for this call, Felix and I were discussing in the office that it's already been a really, really busy year for all of you guys in terms of the grassroots advocacy that we've been doing. And I think, you know, in lots of ways we've taken it to a new level in terms of some of the stuff that you guys have been doing with the They Go to Die tour, with some of the work that's been happening on nutrition. We know that it's been a really, really busy year on lots of different issue areas. And what I was really conscious of was that last year you did a huge amount of fantastic advocacy on education and disability, particularly around the Paralympic Games, which was really great, but we hadn't really had the opportunity to update you on kind of where all of that had got up to and kind of the results of some of the actions that you took and some of the issues that we were trying to get change on. So we thought it would be useful just to kind of give you a bit of an update. I hope that sounds all right to you.
Yep.
Great. So I think I put four things on the agenda just to kind of update you. But I guess, you know, as I say, one of the first things I wanted to say was just, you know, to remind you all that, you know, you did do a huge amount of advocacy last year on education and disability. So there were obviously meetings with DFID at the national conference last year. There were several different monthly actions which were trying to influence DFID, which were trying to influence the Parliamentary International Development Committee and also the Global Partnership for Education. So there was lots of different targets. And then, of course, there was that really big piece of work around the Paralympics and trying to get some of our Paralympians to be real champions on this issue. And all of that kind of culminated with a really good parliamentary event in October, which was one of the first that I'd been involved in, and which saw kind of, you know, lots of you guys turned up at and asked some really good questions, and we had a really good turnout of MPs. And it was a really good moment to talk about disability and education. So that was just kind of quick refresher of what happened last year. And I guess I wanted to give you an update on sort of four different things which were in the agenda. So firstly, where are we in terms of DFID and the influencing that we've been doing towards DFID on children with disabilities in their education program? So that's number one. Number two, the International Development Committee, so the Parliamentary Committee, and the idea of getting them to hold an inquiry on disability. That's number two. Number three, I thought it would be useful to give you a flavour of disability in relation to the post-2015 agenda, so the post-MDG stuff, and I know that was obviously a big theme of our conference just a few weeks ago, so I thought it would be useful to kind of position disability and education within that. And finally, a little bit about what's coming up later on this year. And I particularly mentioned, I think, in the email, a particular UN event which is happening in September, the UN High-Level Meeting on Disability and Development, which is happening on the 23rd of September. So I'll come back to each of those in a bit more detail. But as I say, I hope that sounds all right. If you have questions or if I'm talking too fast or talking in acronyms, do just stop me and ask questions as we go, okay? Okay, so to start off, just an update in terms of DFID and the advocacy that we've done towards DFID on children with disabilities in their education programs. Hi, who's just joined?
It's Macclesfield Group. Sorry, we're a bit late.
Don't worry, Macclesfield. Welcome. So it's a good time, actually. I was just giving a bit of an intro, but if you don't mind, I'm going to crack on with giving the updates on the various kind of areas of action that we took last year. So hopefully you'll be able to kind of get up to speed as we go. But I was saying to the others, do please stop me and ask questions if I'm not making sense. So as I was just saying, number one to update you on was really the advocacy towards DFID. And I know that some of you were involved in the lobby day around the national conference this year. And so that was just a few weeks ago, and we met with DFID's education team on the lobby day. And so that was a very, very good and useful meeting. And I think those of you who were at that meeting will kind of be relatively up to speed, really, with where we are. So on the lobby day, we met with a couple of DFID education officials, Paul Atherton and Ed Barnett from the DFID education team. So two really good guys who work really hard at DFID. And some of the questions that we asked were around disability. And I think for any of you who were there, it was really interesting to hear their response, because I think there was very much a recognition from them that, and in fact, I think Paul actually said, you know, they recognise that they haven't been the best on disability as an issue area, and that they're looking to do more and learn lessons. So that's really positive, and I think, you know, they were specifically mentioning some of the advocacy and some of the activity that you guys were involved in last year. And they particularly also talked about the Global Campaign for Education and the influencing that we've done through them. That's the GCE, the Global Campaign for Education, around disability and equity and inclusion more broadly. So all of that was the kind of work that you guys were involved in last year. And I think, you know, there's definitely a sense that that has had an impact and is continuing to influence DFID's thinking. To take us back kind of slightly, the first thing that happened at the start of this year was in January, I and several other people met with Lynn Featherstone, the lead minister at DFID for education, particularly to talk basically in response to that parliamentary event that happened last year, so to talk about some of our recommendations for them to prioritise children with disabilities in their education programmes. And so that was me and several people from GCE, and also Mark Williams MP, who's a co-chair of the All-Party Group on Global Education, who also chaired the event in October last year that some of you were at. So I think that was a really positive meeting. It was really positive that Lynn Featherstone wanted to meet us. It was a meeting that happened at her request as a result of the meeting last year. So there was a real sense that they were listening and they were open to some of the ideas and suggestions we'd had. And what we did was discuss with Lynn and with the education team at DFID some specific proposals that we'd had for getting them to sort of prioritise disability more in their education programmes. So for example, we talked to them about trying to get them to put in place a central policy on disability that would be a publicly available policy document that would be a very clear statement that this was a priority for DFID and something that they thought was important, and that, you know, that would help to influence not only DFID officials themselves and DFID officials in lots of countries, but also some of the other donor organisations as well, and really show that the UK and DFID were taking a lead on this issue. So that's just one example of one of the things we talked to them about. We didn't get a firm answer, a firm commitment from Lynn Featherstone on that, but she was certainly open to it. She was listening, and that's really positive.
Can I just leap in there and ask a question, please?
Of course you can, Jill. Go for it.
Okay. Lynn Featherstone follows me on Twitter, amazingly.
Does she?
Yes. Is it worth
Lucky you.
About to say I've been on this call and wondering what's happening or something? What do you reckon?
Yes, it probably is worth doing that. Why don't I email you tomorrow with like something specific to say?
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's worth saying, you know,
central policy document. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, let me have a think about the key messages. But yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not. Some of you will know this already. I'm not somebody who's on Twitter, and I'm not very good with that kind of thing. But there are far more modern people in the office than me who can help with that. So
okay.
Let me get back to you tomorrow, Jill, with that.
Okay, right.
So that was the last meeting that we had with the minister at DFID, and as I say, that was really positive. Since then, we've been continuing to meet with some of the officials, so some of DFID's education team, and we met with them quite recently, just a few weeks ago, again, as part of the GCE, the Global Campaign for Education. And we were particularly meeting with them to talk about some of the practical kind of positive ways we could help them and support them to make sure that disability was more of a priority in their education programs. So particularly how we could help with support to DFID officials in country. So in some of the countries we were talking about, Nigeria or Kenya or India or Pakistan, you know, those are some pretty hard-working people who are on the ground trying to deliver education programs, you know, in a difficult and constrained environment. So what we wanted to do was to try and make it simple and easy for them to do as much as they can to reach disabled children in their education programs. So we're talking to DFID about some very practical things we can do around that, such as giving them points of contact that DFID offices in country can talk to some of the big NGOs that are working on disability in those countries, and also looking at things like training seminars for DFID officials on disability as well. So some of those things were really, really positive, very useful. And I think there was a real sense, and there is a real sense really, that the DFID officials are, I guess, kind of gearing up, that they are very sensitive about the issue of disability, and they're very conscious that it's something that their ministers are thinking about, that Lynn Featherstone and Justine Greening are thinking about and, you know, are being asked about. So I think it's a very positive thing that the officials are engaging with us in the sense that they are sort of trying to prepare for perhaps this becoming more of a ministerial priority. And I think, you know, the other thing to say is that I've been to a few public events now where I've seen Justine Greening, the Secretary of State, speak, and she's been asked a few times around disability and what DFID were doing on disability. And each time she's been very clear to say, you know, this is something that we're looking at, it's something that Lynn Featherstone is very interested in and keen on, and they're looking to do more. So again, I think that's a really positive sign. I think the question now will be, what does that look like? What will that involve? And it means we'll have to kind of keep a really close eye on that as we go forward over the next few months. And I think, you know, that's what we'll endeavour to do. We'll endeavour to keep you guys updated on that. And I'll come back to this later, but I think a really key question also for DFID is, you know, will disability become more of a prominent priority globally as part of the post-2015 and the post-MDG agendas and discussions that are happening at the moment? I'm sure pretty much all of you will know that disability was very much ignored from the Millennium Development Goals as they stand at the moment. So there's a key question really about, you know, is disability and are people with disabilities more included in the post-MDG stuff? If they are, then I think that would obviously be a really big incentive for DFID to do more on this issue. So it's a really hot topic to be watching over the next few months. And that was number one on DFID. Does anyone have any kind of questions before I move on to the International Development Committee? I'm going to take that as a no. Are you still awake?
Hi, Dan.
Question? Hello. Who's that?
Felix.
Felix, welcome.
Thanks. I don't have a question. I'm just saying hello.
Hello. Welcome, Felix, to the call.
Thanks.
So we've got Anne-Marie and Mark, we've got Jill, we've got Pete, we've got Dom, and we've got Macclesfield on the call.
Great. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so guys, if there's no particular questions on DFID, I'll move on to number two, which is around the International Development Committee in Parliament. So again, you know, this was one of the actions that you guys took last year, which I think was really positive and created a good response. So what you were doing was trying to lobby members of the International Development Committee. It's obviously a kind of high-profile and influential committee that monitors the work that DFID does. And we were trying to get them to hold an inquiry specifically on disability and development with the idea that that would look at specifically what DFID was doing on disability in their education programs and in their other programs as well, and looking at, you know, their DFID's policies and procedures and programs to see if they were doing enough on disability. And I think some of you will know, you know, as a result pretty much of your advocacy last year, Sir Malcolm Bruce, who is the chair of the International Development Committee, said last year that his committee were really keen to hold an inquiry on disability and development, and they were going to look into it, basically. But, you know, that he was pretty much promising that they would hold an inquiry. He didn't give a timescale, but he was very optimistic, and I think that was really positive. And I think, you know, if we did manage to get this kind of inquiry in Parliament, it would be a really major achievement, because it would really throw a spotlight on DFID's work, and it would put pressure on them to do more. So I think it remains a really important thing. I guess the latest update, again, if any of you on the call were on the lobby day and actually joined the meeting that we had with Sir Malcolm Bruce on that day, that was a very positive meeting again. And what was really good is that, you know, we asked Sir Malcolm about an inquiry on disability, and he reiterated that commitment. He says, you know, the committee is still very keen to do an inquiry on disability. And he basically said they haven't started planning it yet. They haven't got into the details of when and how it will happen, but they're still very much committed to doing that inquiry. So that was very positive. And also, right at the end of the meeting, Reg Davis was there and was very diligent at basically following up with Sir Malcolm and trying to get a bit more of a commitment from him. And what was really good, Sir Malcolm said he expected the inquiry on disability to happen not later than the first half of 2014. So we think, you know, that was really good of Reg to kind of hold him to that. And I think, you know, it does look likely that that inquiry will happen probably at the start of 2014, so perhaps not this year, but at the start of next year. And that will be a really, really positive thing. We're going to keep monitoring that very closely, so I'll be having a few meetings over the next few months with some of the International Development Committee people to keep an eye on that and just to see if they are kind of progressing in terms of actually planning in that inquiry. I think it's one that we want to potentially come back to towards the end of the year if we get a sense that, you know, that they're not actually making progress on this and they're not looking like they're going to hold that inquiry, then I think that might be a really good moment to come back to you guys and to see if you could give the committee and Sir Malcolm Bruce a nudge on this to make sure that it does happen. So it's one that we're monitoring really closely, and we'll keep you updated as we know more on that. So that was number two. That's the International Development Committee. Any questions on that before I move on?
Nope.
Good. Okay. So number three, which I was going to cover, is sort of disability and education in relation to the post-2015 development agenda. And, you know, I've already mentioned that very briefly. As I was saying before, people with disabilities and children with disabilities were very much excluded from the current Millennium Development Goals. There's no explicit reference to disability at all in the MDGs. And that's despite the fact that, you know, it's now estimated that there's around 1 billion disabled people in the world. That's 15% of the world's population. And there's very strong links between disability, poverty, and exclusion from basic services like education and healthcare. So there's a really strong reason for the post-2015 framework to do more to include people with disabilities. We've been doing lots of influencing around the post-2015 agenda, as I think lots of you know. And obviously we talked about that a lot at the National Conference recently. And obviously we've been trying to influence that across all of our different issue areas, so across education, across health, microfinance, nutrition, all of those different issue areas. Some of you will know this already, but next week is actually a really key moment for the post-2015 debates. So on the 30th of May, which I think is next Thursday, the UN high-level panel on post-2015, which is the one that David Cameron has been co-chairing, is due to release its final report. So that's happening on Thursday next week. Watch out for that. They are publishing it on their website, so it will be a public document, and we'll be able to see, you know, what kind of impact we've had in terms of our influencing and what they're saying about things like education and healthcare. So do keep a close eye out for that. I'm sure we'll be blogging about it and putting it on our own website as well, so you can see. But obviously that high-level panel report, that will be a really influential one. It's really the key document that will feed in to the post-2015 process over the next few months. So after that report being published, there's a sort of period of a few months where we're a bit uncertain, and I think everyone is quite uncertain about what exactly the process will be and what will be the opportunities to influence it. But leading up particularly to September, when there's a big high-level UN summit on the Millennium Development Goals and post-2015 planning. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that and obviously engaging you guys in that as well. And I think, you know, specifically on disability, that's obviously one of the issues that we've been doing quite a lot to try to influence David Cameron and DFID to ensure that disability is mentioned in the high-level panel report, you know, in a way that it wasn't mentioned in the MDGs. So that's a specific thing that we'll be looking for next week. We're pretty confident that, you know, the high-level panel is very unlikely to ignore education as an issue or ignore health as an issue. So obviously we'll be looking more at the specifics of what they're saying about those issues, but particularly we'll be looking at disability in terms of whether it's included or not. And I think, you know, from the influencing we've done so far, and I know that you guys took a related action in February looking at the post-2015 framework and encouraging the Prime Minister and Justine Greening to make sure that the post-2015 framework tackles inequalities, so things like disability. So that was really positive. And I think the responses that we've had so far from the Prime Minister have been very much that he thinks a post-2015 framework should be inclusive of people with disabilities and that it must reach the most marginalised. Those are the kind of things that he's been saying. The question, of course, now is whether that will actually be translated into the high-level panel's reports and whether that kind of interest and focus that he has managed to kind of make its way in there. So we'll be keeping a really, really close eye on that report next week. And then, as I say, the next big stage will be coming in September when there's the big UN summit. So I think that's all there is to say really at this point in terms of post-2015 and disability. Any questions on that one before I move on?
No, that's fine.
Cool. Okay, so the last bit really was just to flag up kind of what we've got coming up in terms of education and disability and the things we'll be asking you guys to do. So as I've kind of said earlier, we'll obviously be keeping a close eye on the International Development Committee in terms of whether they'll be holding an inquiry. We'll be keeping a close eye and continuing to discuss with DFID in terms of them doing more on disability and education. And obviously we'll be looking really closely at the post-2015 debates over the next few months. And I guess, you know, all of those things are relatively up in the air. So, you know, those are all things that we'll be keeping a close eye on. But one specific thing that I wanted to mention, because I think it is likely to form probably a monthly action, I think in July, so the month after this one, is particularly looking at the UN high-level meeting on disability and development, which is basically a big high-level UN summit, which is happening for one day on the 23rd of September. And I guess the reason that I'm highlighting that as a really big moment is that, you know, it's not often that disability as an issue is raised at such a high level. The UN is pitching this summit at heads of state level, which is very, very ambitious and very promising. I think probably realistically it won't be David Cameron who will be at that event, but it may well be and probably will be Justine Greening or Lynn Featherstone, so it will certainly be a minister. And it's, I guess, a really big moment globally to try to galvanise, you know, everyone, but particularly some of the big donor countries like us and like DFID, to do more in terms of reaching people with disabilities and children with disabilities. So it's a really big moment internationally, and it's a very kind of rare occasion. And I think the other thing that's really important about that meeting is that it's happening literally a couple of days before the big UN summit on the Millennium Development Goals and the post-2015 agenda, which are, again, is all happening in New York at the UN. So that means that it's kind of deliberately organised this as a really influential moment in terms of trying to do more on disability. So that's really positive. And I think what we see is the opportunity for it to be a big moment that galvanizes a kind of step change in terms of global momentum and support for disabled people. I think, you know, we're saying this a lot this year across many different issue areas, but I think it is a key moment for the UK and the British government to show some really big leadership, you know, as they have been doing this year so far, already meeting, you know, the 0.7% target on spending on AIDS, and also in terms of hosting the G8 as they're doing next month. So, you know, they are, I think, in a really key influential leadership position at the moment, and I think we want them to make sure they make the most of that in terms of disability and education. So we'll give you lots more detail on that. Hopefully July, I think, is going to be the monthly action, and we'll give you lots more detail about kind of how best we think you can influence that. But I think, you know, it's a really big moment to try to encourage the UK and DFID to take some really big, ambitious action on disability, which I think is exactly what's needed at this point. So basically watch this space, and we'll have more details for you on that very soon. And that is essentially my update across all of those different issue areas and across the different bullet points that I promised to update you on. I think that's everything. So very much open to you guys if you have questions, or
yeah.
Felix, if there's anything else you want to update people on while they're on the call.
Yeah, just a question here. Jay from Macclesfield.
Hiya, yeah.
Hi. I definitely believe, you know, on the last point, UN high-level meeting, you know, on 23rd September. In 1990, we had the World Summit for Children for the first time ever, and we had the heads of government meeting in UN, you know. I think we held candlelight vigils throughout the world. I think we had about 1 million people. That really raised the profile of the UN Summit for Children. I remember Margaret Thatcher wasn't going to go, but because of her lobbying, she changed her mind and decided to go. I think, is it possible for us to do something similar, to raise the profile of this UN high-level meeting on disability?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. And I think, you know, it's something that we will be watching really closely over the next sort of month or so before our monthly action, because I think, you know, the conversations we've had with DFID officials so far, the suggestion has been that it's probably going to be Lynn Featherstone who's at that meeting, and that's because she is the lead minister when it comes to education, and I think disability falls in her brief as well. But I absolutely agree with you. I think the higher we can get the UK representation, the better. I think one thing that we have working to our advantage is, as I was saying before, that, you know, it is literally in the same week as the big UN Millennium Development Goals Summit. And so, we don't know at this point who is going to be representing the UK, but it should really be somebody pretty senior, given the involvement that David Cameron's had so far in the high-level panel report. Definitely one to think about.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible for all the results organizations, you know, throughout the world, you know, for them to sort of combine and do something to really raise the profile of this meeting, you know? I mean, this candlelight vigil was organized, it started from U.S., you know, results U.S., you know. And I'm thinking, you know, is it possible to raise it at that level and see if you can do something throughout the world?
I think it's certainly possible, yeah. And then one of the, I mentioned the Global Campaign for Education as one of the ways that we'll be looking to kind of, you know, bring come together with other NGOs to do stuff on a global basis.
Yeah.
I'm also very much in touch with some of the kind of big disability NGOs in the UK and also internationally, who at the moment they're actually meeting in, I think, Vienna this week to talk as a big global coalition about, about what should be the best advocacy and the best types of activity in the run-up to that high-level meeting in September. So I think, you know, all of that, those conversations are happening. We'll certainly be doing our best to get involved in those as well, and hopefully we'll have more detail with the monthly action.
Okay.
But yes, you're absolutely right. The more we can do globally, the more we can do together, the better it will be, for sure.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that, Jay. I kind of know some, you know, church groups that would be interested in that. You know, the San Egidio community, they're based in Rome. They'd be really good. They're very good at holding, you know, things like that. And they do a lot on disability. You probably haven't come across them, but they might, if we were doing something, if we got in touch with them, I'm sure they'd join us as well.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really useful, Jill, definitely.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Is there anywhere where we can read what we're actually asking DFID to do? Because I remember we did quite a lot of work on this a couple of years back, and we were talking about, well, one of the things was getting better, identification and sort of statistics on it, you know, on disability. And another thing was having a central, you know, is part of the central thing, having a country officer in each country who was identified like Lynn Featherstone is, that there was somebody in each office in each country to be working for disability.
Yeah. The answer is sort of yes and no. So yes, in the sense that, Jill, if you remember the GCE UK report that was published last autumn, so the Equity and Inclusion in Education report, which was the one that was launched at the parliamentary event where we had the Paralympians in October. So that report, the recommendations from that report are essentially what we're working from in terms of the recommendations that we're putting to DFID. So, for example, that report specifically talks about having a central policy, about having leads in the country offices at country level. It is all of those specifics. So definitely have a look at that report again. I'm sure we can send it round again so you can see kind of what's in that report. Beyond that, kind of behind the scenes when we meet with DFID officials, we'll produce kind of, you know, short one pages or whatever that kind of really summarise down exactly what the proposals are that we're putting forward. But they're very much, they are the same and they're drawn from that report. That's sort of the public document that's available to you, definitely.
That would be good to have that in mind, you know, that then you've got the kind of information, you know it offhand, you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's actually a summary of that report as well, which is literally a sort of one-page executive summary and one page with all the recommendations. So that's an even better thing that you can have with you, you know, if you happen to bump into your MP or anybody influential like that.
Could you put it round, please?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, that would be helpful. I mean, I mentioned it again when I met this week, you know, just on the if things. Because it's always good just to get it in again, isn't it? You know.
It is always good. Absolutely. That's great. Thanks, Jill. Was there another question? I think there was two voices at once just before. No? We seem to have addressed it. Felix, is there anything you want to add? Oh dear, we may have lost Felix in a tunnel or something.
No, sorry, I was on mute and I'm on my phone, so it takes a while for me to unmute. I think you've covered everything really well, Dan. I think I would just say, I suppose, that, you know, I think, as Dan says, we've really, and I think we should give ourselves more credit for kind of the work that we've all done as a network on this issue. When Results first started working on disability and education like 2.5-3 years ago, we really were the only people doing it. Like, no one was doing it. When we first started talking about it, people said, well, you know, we can't do those things right here, and there are so many children out of school there. You know, why would you think that you can get children with disabilities into school if you can't just get ordinary children into school, you know, non-disabled children into school? And then we had real pushback and bad attitudes and all that kind of thing. And all of our hard work, the work that Julia did and now the work that Dan's doing and the work that all of you have done have really put us right at the front of all of this work. And it's a really good example of how our kind of joined up campaigning has made a really quite genuine and significant impact in the policy space. So well done to everyone. I think all of the things that Dan has spoken about on this call and all of the really good opportunities that we have coming up, some of those opportunities would not be there, quite frankly, had we not been doing the work that we've been doing. So just, take a moment not just to listen to this update, but also to kind of give yourselves a pat on the back for a job well done.
Good.
An ongoing job, but been well done up to now. Obviously, we're not there yet.
Yeah, I agree.
That's great, Felix. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Felix and I were actually saying in the office the other day, it can be quite hard sometimes to articulate, the work that results in that all of you guys do and kind of, how do we demonstrate the results and the achievements that we've managed to bring about, because it's always quite hard. But I think particularly with the disability and education work, it's such a good example of, all of the different sides of what we do coming together, so the fact that you guys were taking grassroots actions, we were bringing Paralympians on board, then we were having a parliamentary event, now we're doing policy work with DFIDS, we were bringing in international partners, all of that kind of working together, and I think it's just such a good demonstration of the results model, really, and the way in which you guys can really raise an issue and be listened to. So you should absolutely pat yourselves on the back and look forward to more of the same.
Yeah, I think what this example says is that we are very good at mobilizing other groups into action as well. I mean, we have brought so many other groups on board with this issue, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
On that, can I ask another question about Send My Friend to School? Are they still working out of the results office? Is Nicola Cadbury still with you?
So Nicola Cadbury still does work on Send My Friend to School. They're not based at results. They're based at ActionAid.
Right.
But it's really just, it's about kind of where there are seats and a home for them. I still work very, very closely with Nicola and with, it's an initiative of the Global Campaign for Education. So I'm still very much involved in that, along with Nicola at ActionAid, along with Save the Children, along with some of the teachers' unions, along with some of the big disability NGOs, Sight Savers, for example. So we're all still very much involved in that, yeah, absolutely. And the theme of the Send My Friend to School this year is all around teachers, so trying to close the train-to-teacher gap. So one of the big stats that the UN put out last year was that we need to recruit at least 1.7 million more primary school teachers if we're to achieve even universal primary education by 2015. So there's still a really big problem and that's many more millions of teachers who are needed above and beyond that, which is simply, to recruit replacements for teachers who are leaving the profession or retiring or whatever. But 1.7 million more brand new teachers need to be recruited and trained to achieve that universal primary education. So that's the focus of the Send My Friend to School campaign this year. We're actually doing an event in Parliament in July, which will be focused on that issue. We'll be hoping that some of our young campaigners, some of the school children who get involved in that campaign, we're hoping that we might be able to get them to meet with Lynn Featherstone or people at DFID slightly later in the year to raise precisely that issue. So, yeah.
I'm just thinking about the specifically the disability, because one of the things we've focused on is we need teachers trained in inclusive methods. So that's an opportunity. I'm just thinking if we could engage the special schools over here specifically that are involved with that campaign, or maybe it's too late. It's too late now, but.
No, I think that's a really good idea, though, and I would ask you, I'm scribbling that down, I would ask you also to hold on to that thought, because I know already that the Global Campaign for Education, each year it has a sort of theme, and as I say, this year's is around teachers, and as you say, teachers in terms of inclusive education is a really important issue, but actually next year, the 2014 theme is actually on disability. It's actually that global campaign theme for next year. So I think there'll be lots of opportunity for us to kind of get involved in Send My Friend to School and the GCE campaign next year as well, because there'll be that big thematic focus as well. So that'll be really good.
Good-o.
I mean, just a very last quick thought just to whet your appetite as well. I know this is looking quite far in advance, but 2014 generally will be a really big year in terms of the education work. And one reason for that is that the Global Partnership for Education, which I think you all know about, the GPE, is the sort of one of the big multilateral funders for education. The GPE is having a replenishment next year, which is the first one since the 2011 replenishment. And that will be a really, really big moment for global education. It's sort of, you know, getting down to the wire in terms of getting more children into school before the 2015 deadline for MDGs. But also the Global Partnership for Education is really trying to scale up to meet that challenge. So for the first time, they have a proper chief executive, who is a lady called Alice Albright, who's actually the daughter of Madeleine Albright, if you know that name, from US politics.
Oh, yeah, keep it in the family.
Really, the GPE is kind of scaling up and becoming very, very much more serious as it leads up to that replenishment. So watch this space, because I think, you know, for the first half of next year, we will definitely be doing some work on GPE and kind of looking at, you know, the big global funding of education, and we'll be taking actions around that. So, watch this space on that. Anyway, sorry, I'm drowning you with far too much information now.
No, it's great. That's what we need.
So if that's it, I will say farewell and thank you very much for being on the call. I think we'll send around a couple of things that you've requested. Other than that, any final words, Felix? Is there anything else people need to know?
It's not a final word. Could I just say, I've been asking people that are in different places like India and Cameroon about disability in children, and I've heard some really hairy stories about what's going on, of how it's not happening on the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Just desperate. I mean, like, the people in the Cameroon are in northern Cameroon, it's a very poor area, and they said they just cannot cope with a child with disabilities. So they're all right when they're babies, but then after that, they just get let loose in the village, and anybody that's around feeds them and looks after them. But nobody takes any responsibility because they're looked on as a curse.
Yes.
And this is happening now. I mean, you know, like, it's just awful, you know. So.
Yeah, it is absolutely awful. And, I mean, I think I've spoken on previous calls about my experience in Kenya, which still was very much the same. You know, there is still a really big feeling that, you know, disability is a curse, and particularly amongst, you know, the poorer communities, and, for example, in some of the slums, there is still a lot of that attitude around. And it's, you know, it's ultimately quite a cultural thing. You know, it's a cultural attitude that will take time to shift. And it's very much beginning to happen. I saw it in some of the work that I did in Kenya. You know, there are a lot of organisations beginning to tackle that, but it's, you know, it's a long-term piece of work. And I think, you know, if we can make disability more of a priority amongst some of the donors like the UK, and if we can make it more of a priority globally, then I think that will really help to galvanise that kind of attitude change and really make people begin to look at this issue very, very differently. So I think it remains, you know, as important as ever for us to keep talking about it and working on it.
Jill, I think it would be a very good idea if you ever write for any magazines, free or otherwise, to get it out there, because I think it needs to be in the common domain, because so many people have no idea of how disabled people, of the life they have abroad. You know, I think it would be really good to get it out in the public domain.
Mm. Well, and the Full of Strikes doing Global Foundation, you know, to try and get this out there.
Mm-hmm.
She's a local Paralympian who's got a charity for this. But, oh, I don't know.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the more we can do to publicise this kind of issue, I think the better. You know, and I think that's what was so positive and successful about the work that you guys did last year around the Paralympics, you know, because
you know,
I thought the Paralympics was such a good moment to actually change attitudes around disability. And I think, you know, ultimately the UK did a really good job, I think, of hosting the Paralympics in a very different way than they'd been done before, you know. The fact that, you know, Channel 4 showed so much coverage and made it so compelling, you know, everyone was watching the Paralympics. I was absolutely gripped, and I think, you know, that kind of thing really does make a big difference. So yeah, the more kind of publicity and focus we can get on it, the better, definitely.
Yeah. Maybe we could go back to those people that you know, were commentating, because there was that brilliant program that was on
The last leg.
Yeah, what was it called? The last leg.
That was
so good. And
yeah, it was fantastic.
You know, I mean, is it okay to ask? That hashtag was just excellent.
Yeah, that was brilliant, wasn't it?
They've got another series coming up again, if I'm not mistaken. I think they may have another series coming up.
I think they have.
It didn't have the bite, though. But I just think if we could only sort of get that going again, you know, that sort of feeling, whether they'd be interested in coming on board with it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely something we can look at. I think that's a really good thought.
Into the public domain, having the conversations, that's all, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but there is a Paralympic event coming up this Saturday as well, I think, in Manchester. There is another Paralympic sports event coming up, but I'm sure it's this Saturday. Well, and there's the Legacy Games coming up as well in July in the Olympic Stadium. There's a Paralympic event. I know because I've got tickets.
Oh, great.
Oh, you know more than me there. That's brilliant.
Yeah, there are two events.
I'm going to get tickets now. Right. Well, that's a good one for us to think about then. If we're going to do perhaps a July monthly action, then that might be a good moment to try and remind people of that link to the Paralympics.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a really good thought. I definitely want tickets now, though. I want to go to the Legacy Games. That sounds brilliant.
Well, I was very lucky to be in the stadium when Johnny Peacock, David Weir and Hannah, whatever her name is, all won gold. That was brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That must have been amazing.
That was... I got up and sung God Save the Queen 3 times, and I'm Irish, so there you go. Absolutely brilliant.
That's awesome. All right, guys, I think we should probably leave it there. Have wonderful evenings, and I'll speak to you again soon, all right?
Okay, see you.
Bye, thanks.